Before I came to know the Lord Jesus, I was a woman who lived for the material things of this world. I knew about God, and I knew about the Lord Jesus Christ because I had gone to Sunday school as a girl. I had a wonderful Christian mother who prayed for me all her life, and we have a lovely Christian daughter who prayed for us for 9 years. 12 months before the Billy Graham Crusade came to Sydney in 1959, my mother was called home to be with the Lord. This had a great effect on my life, and I became very depressed. And I was depressed for about 9 months. I'd lost all interest in all things, and this was quite annoying to my family. They were concerned. It was one Sunday afternoon that Jack, my husband, and Gloria and her fiancé, we were sitting, talking, and my daughter turned to me and said, "Mother, if you would come to church with Dick and I tonight, I'm sure it would help you." Jack and I had not gone to church. I turned to Jack and I said, he was sitting there reading the paper, I said, "Would you go to church with me tonight?" And he said, "Well, if going to church will help break you out of this depression," he said, "I'll do anything and I'll go anywhere." We'd never gone to church. So we went to church that night. I think I went because my daughter asked me to go and I didn't want to disappoint her. We sat in the back row of the church, and as the service went on, I became very convicted when I heard the words from the Bible, and I just wanted to get out of that church. After the service, got up quickly to go out, but the pastor and his wife, they got to the door before us, and we were introduced to the pastor and his wife that night. And he quite nicely said, "Would you mind if we paid you a visit sometime?" And I said, "Oh, no, that'd be quite all right." Didn't think he would. But he did. He was a faithful pastor. And within a week or so that he paid us a visit. He was very nice and invited us to come back to church again. We didn't go, but he kept coming to our home. And he kept asking us, giving us the invitation each time to come along to church. Well, we said, "Look, we play golf on Sunday. And we stay at the golf house and we have dinner there. And we wouldn't get back in time for church." But he kept on asking and giving the invitation now and again. So we did. We decided we'd go to church and get him off our back. So we went to church another 2 times. Then it came the Christmas period and holiday time. We didn't see the pastor anymore. There was no more visits for quite some time. And then it was on the Saturday afternoon, the day before the first day of the crusade, and he popped in on one of his visits. And he said, "I was just passing by, and I thought of you two folk," he said. "I have 2 free tickets, he said. I thought you might like to go out to the crusade tomorrow afternoon." And Jack looked at me and I looked at Jack, and Jack said, "But Pastor," he said, "isn't there 28 days, he said, of this crusade?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, sure." He said, "Well, why the hurry?" He said, and the pastor said, "Well, I just thought you might like to go tomorrow, the first day." So I said to Jack, "Well, we're not playing golf tomorrow, and we haven't any family commitments. Why don't we go and get the thing over and done with?" And so the pastor was quite happy, smiled, and he said, "Well, I'm not going to hold you up anymore," he said. "You go to the church tomorrow and catch the bus there," he said. "It'll take you out to the crusade, and you won't have to worry about a thing." And he got away quickly. Well, we did. We took the bus, we went out to the crusade, and on arriving at the grounds there, There was just no room to be seated together. There was 50,000 people there. So Jack looked around and he found a nice little spot for me, asked people to move up, and he settled me in the back of the stand. And he said to me, "I'll meet you after the meeting," he said, "at the gate." And I said, "Fine." So I was on my own and I didn't know where he went. But when I sat down and started to get settled, I became awestruck. I'd been in crowds before, but I'd never been in such reverence. And then the beautiful choir began to sing beautiful hymns. And then the gospel singer, George Beverly Shea, began to sing about Jesus. And my heart started, something inside of me was really feeling real good. I felt, this is beautiful. But then, when Dr. Graham started to speak, and he started to tell about Jesus, and he had the Bible in his hand, he kept saying all the time, "The Bible says, the Bible says." And this was hitting home all the time. And I was listening to what he had to say, every word. And something inside of me started to churn. And I thought, isn't this wonderful? That's what I want. I want Jesus. And then when he told how Jesus had died for me and how he'd gone all the way to the cross and how he'd shed his blood and suffered for me, a sinner, and he pointed for you all the way around the arena, his finger went and the finger caught me. And I knew that I needed Jesus. And I wanted to do something about it. So when he gave the invitation to come forward and receive Christ by faith, I stood to my feet. I didn't even think about Jack. Never gave him a thought. And as I got up to walk along to the end of the row, I looked down in front of me and there was Jack, further down, facing me and looking at me. And I thought, oh no, he wants to go home. I'll have to go. So I made my way down the aisle and there he was standing at the end of the row and he just took my hand and went forward with me. Now God performed a miracle in our lives that day. He spoke to our hearts at exactly the same time. Jack came from a non-Christian family and he knew nothing about the Bible. And yet God touched his heart at exactly the same time as mine. Well, we walked across the grounds of that arena and I know myself, I was just feeling so fine. And we went forward there by faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart and into our life. That day, I prayed a little prayer asking Jesus to forgive me for my sins and to come into my heart and to my life and be my Lord and Saviour. And he came in. And we had good counsellors. And my counsellor showed me Revelation 3:20, where the living Jesus, the risen Christ, said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." It was wonderful. I knew Jesus had come into my heart. And then the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And I become a new creature in Christ. And this was wonderful. Well, we went to every meeting at the crusade. We went around to our neighbours. We went to our loved ones. We went to friends. We said, "Come out with us. Come in our car." And they said, "Well, something wonderful's happened to you." Well, we took our car out every night, loads of people each time. And of all the people that we took out, 13 people went forward to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Well, we'd had a wonderful mountaintop experience. We came back then and joined the church. We were so hungry to know about Jesus. So hungry to know the Word, God's Word, the Bible. And you know, we went to prayer meetings, we went to all the services that we could go, but we still weren't getting what we were looking for. And you know what Jack did? He bought the children's golden books, the Old Testament and the New Testament, gave the stories of the Bible. And of a night time, Jack would read the stories of the Bible. And the little scripture verse on the top of the page, we'd open up the Word of God and we'd read then what God had to say. And you know, the simplicity of the story in the children's book helped us to understand what was in the Bible. And so we were being fed that way. And then we, as the time went on, we were asked to be Sunday school teachers. That was all right. We were getting pre-digested help. Then, before long, Jack was a deacon, and he was a deacon before he even knew what a deacon was. And we were asked to do this, and we were asked to do that, and we thought a Christian did what they were asked to do, and we were very busy people. And we were very active in our church for 2 years. Very busy people. And then, 2 years after we've converted, God sent Leighton Ford, Billy Graham's brother, to have a follow-up crusade. And 6 months before that crusade, a navigator-trained businessman by the name of Bob Blockner came to take the counselling classes. And he was in Australia for 6 months. And in a very wonderful way, God brought Bob across Jack's path, and their hearts were knitted together, and they became very firm friends. And before long, Bob was sharing with Jack all he knew about Jesus. He taught him all the basics of the Christian walk. It was building into his life for 6 months. And what Bob taught Jack, Jack taught me. So then I was being fed too. Now God has been very gracious to me. He's given me peace, and he's given me joy. He's given me satisfaction. He's given me a purpose for living. And he's not only my Lord and my Saviour, but he is my very life. And I've dedicated my life to him for the rest that I've got, that I might glorify his name. And a verse of scripture that I'd like to leave with you as I finish my testimony is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
Thank you very much, May, or Mai, as Jack calls her. There are a lot of refreshing things about the Griffins. I do a bit on their home. There's one refreshing thing, though, that I probably shouldn't take in, but it's the first home I have ever visited where when the dessert comes, you always have three desserts instead of one. But I think that's sort of indicative of their life. I've always been refreshed by their testimony and by their lives. So thank you very much, May. And I know this was cut down somewhat, but Jack is going to carry on. And are you going to tell us any more about what Glockner did to you as well as with you? Bob Glockner was on our staff years ago, now a businessman in Minneapolis. Some of you may know him. And so Jack will pick up the story and carry on right now. Okay, Jack? Oh, tell us about, you know, one of my favorite songs is Tie Me Kangaroo Down Sport. And when I got down there, they'd never heard of it. But he's got a kangaroo on here. Tell us about the kangaroo, too. Would you please, Jack?
Yes, well, everybody seems to identify themselves with Australia with this kangaroo when we made our world trip about 11 years ago. And this pin lawn is not mine. It's May's. So I said, May, can I wear your pin on this trip? She said, yes, by all means. So I've made a little scripture verse fit this little kangaroo. And I'm sure most of you have finished the new topical memory system. And in that verse there in 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So we use that, and we use it as a little practice to see how the folk here are going with their little back review and so forth. And it's very hard to pick a verse out straight like that when you ask, but it's a good practice. And thank you, May, for that. I've heard May's testimony so many hundreds of times, and there's always a tear in my eye, as it was tonight. Thank you, May. May didn't tell you that we are, I believe, somewhere near the oldest on the Navigator staff, 65 plus. We have two lovely grown-up children. We have eight lovely grandchildren. And we have one lovely great granddaughter for which we praise the Lord. But my testimony is that once I was blind, but now I can see. As May said, I was born into a non-Christian home. I grew up completely ignorant of the things of God. And as May mentioned, except for once or twice in 47 years, I'd only been in the church just once or twice. I'd never read one word from God's holy book, the Bible. I served 5 years in the Second World War as an army officer with the Australian forces, as a liaison officer with the American forces in the islands. And when I was out of the services, I started a little business of my own, a manufacturing business, manufacturing motor body parts and accessories. And everything we touched seemed to turn to gold, because there was a shortage of many parts and things, as you know, after the war. Well, we saved our money. We built a lovely home. We had motor cars. I had a lovely deep sea fishing boat. We had a good bank account and everything that went with it. But within my heart and soul, I had an emptiness. I joined most clubs that businessmen join, seeking something, mainly fellowship, friendship. I belonged to the ski club, the golf club, the Masonic club, Returned Soldiers Club, you name it, and I was a member. But with all this, this vacuum in my heart was not to be filled. It was not to be filled. And as I sat down in the front of that stand and I heard Billy Graham that day, for the very first time in my life, speak the gospel message, it really made sense to me. It really made sense. I didn't have to be told the second time that in the sight of a holy God, I was a sinner. But when he told the story of Jesus and how Jesus died on that cross, as May said, personally, for me, and if I could take this Jesus into my heart, I could have forgiveness of sins and find a brand new abundant life in him. And something also happened in my life. And when Billy gave the invitation to stand and to come forward, I stood to my feet. I wanted to go forward. God had spoken to my heart the first time in 47 years through his word. And I turned round. I wanted to indicate to May that I wanted to go forward. And as she indicated, she's standing also. And I was joyous in my heart because she was standing too. So as May said, we took one another's hand and went forward, just like two little children at the age of 47, to pray the sinner's prayer, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Yes, many things happened after that, as May told you, but for 2 years in the church, I really wandered in the wilderness. I really did. They tried so very much to help me, but little could be done with me. Until God sent this man, this Navigator-trained businessman, Bob Lochner, who came out with Leighton Ford, Billy Graham's brother-in-law, to take the counselling classes. And before he left the States, he prayed, Lord, would you give me a band of faithful men there in Australia? But will you give me one man that I can leave when I move out, that he can carry on the work? Well, Bob, you know, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Bob Lochner was looking for the young man, and he got some young men around him, but in a most remarkable way, I became very firm friends with him also through a series of circumstances. So to test whether a man's faithful, as you well know, you give him something to do. So Lochner was no different to any of the other navigators. He said, we'll now meet tomorrow morning at 5:30 a.m. for our first prayer meeting. Well, only half the young men, and I was twice their age, only half the men attended. I attended because 5 a.m. was no problem for me. I'm the son of a milkman. I was brought up to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, then go to school or else go to work. So 5:30 a.m. was just ideal for me. But for the young men, after a few weeks, no young men, only the old fella. And Bob Lochner thought, he said, Lord, is it this old chap that you want me to invest my life in? So he came to me, he said, Jack, he said, would you be interested in me having personal time with you? I said, what's that? He said, you know, meeting with you face to face, opening the Bible and teaching you the basics of the Christian life. Understand that, Lorne? Basics. Good. I said, what's that basic business? He said, oh, the simple foundation. So I said, oh, I can understand you now. I'd love you to do that. And I was hungry-hearted. And so he said, well, now you'll have to come out to the airport and meet me as I come in from Melbourne or other interstate trips, or you'll have to come out to the railway station. So I said, Bob, I'm available 24 hours a day, any time you like. I was hungry. I said, good. I said, now, what's the first thing you'd like to ask me? He said, how's your quiet time? I said, what's that, Bob? He said, you know, getting up early in the morning and meeting with the Lord in the Word and in prayer. I said, no, I don't know anything about that. You'll have to teach me. So he opened up the New Testament at Luke 10:38-42, the story of Mary and Martha, you know so well. And he said, Jack, what are you, a Mary or a Martha? Bob, I'm a Martha. I'm encumbered about much serving. He said, what do you want to be? I said, I want to be a Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his words. He said, well, if you do, Jack, you need to make a covenant with the Lord. No Bible, no breakfast. Would you be prepared to do that? As May said, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I said, Bob, I'm prepared to make that covenant with the Lord, even as a busy businessman and as a busy churchman. So I did. And that was many, many years ago. And that changed the course of my life completely. Meeting with the Lord, first thing of the morning, every day, every day. Then Bob taught me how I could know the assurance of my own salvation from the Bible. How we can know for sure that Jesus by faith lives within our heart. And then he taught me that Jesus wanted to be Lord of my life. And he shared various scriptures. And I went home and I got down on my knees. And I made another covenant with Jesus that he was to be Lord of my life from that point on. And I said to him, I'm willing to be what you want me to be. I'm willing to do what you want me to do. And I'm willing to say what you want me to say. And I'm willing to go where you want me to go. And I claimed a promise that day that you know so well. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And God has shown us great and mighty things. But he started to teach me, as May said, the basics, the foundations, the simple fundamentals of the Christian life. He taught me how to get into the Word of God for myself. And he said, Jack, any time you hear a sermon, please take notes when you hear it, so as you will know. I said, good. So I was taking a note of everything he was telling me. And he said, Jack, the reason why I'm telling you all this is that I want you eventually to pray for a faithful man for yourself in whose life you can invest. And you just teach him the things I'm teaching you. So then he taught me how to read the Word of God. And he gave me a navigated daily Bible reading calendar. A little bit every day. I was reading through the Bible in a systematic way. Then he taught me how to do Bible study, which I wasn't doing. Simple, navigator little booklets, question-answer Bible studies. And then he taught me how to memorize Scripture. So simply, review, review, review. And say them out aloud to somebody each day. So the nearest one I knew was my wife, May. And she became my buddy in Scripture memory. And this was really good. And he said, Jack, and all these things that I'm asking you to do, think on them, meditate on them, and apply them to your life. This was one little basic. How to have a good five-fingered grip on the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This really took hold of me. Then he taught me how to have a well-balanced prayer life. And I was having problems praying. I could only pray for a few minutes. But then when he taught me how to have a well-balanced prayer life through the prayer hand, how to confess my sins to the Lord, how to come with thanksgiving, how to have intercession, pray for other people, how to have petition, bringing my own request to the Lord, and finally, but not least, how to praise the Lord. And this was really, really wonderful. My prayer life really developed. Then he taught me, as he taught me through the counseling classes, how to lead other people through the Word of God to Jesus Christ. And that was done so simply. But he didn't leave it at that. He taught me how to creep beside them and what to tell them and expect them to know in the first 48 hours. What to do in the first week. What to do in the first 3 or 4 weeks. What to do in the first 3 or 4 months. What to expect in the first 9 or 12 months. And all this was written down. I was like attending a little Bible school. But Bob made it so simple to me. It was very understanding. And this was in between plane trips, in between, you know, train trips, and coming out to our home, and me going in and having breakfast with him. And this was remarkable. As soon as I see Bob, home to May, May had dotted down too, and she was praying for a faithful woman. But he said, Jack, this man you're praying for must be a faithful man who can teach others also. So I started to pray. And Bob came back to Minneapolis. And he was still faithful. He said, Jack, I'll write you 6 lines, you write me 6 lines. And I wrote 12 lines back. So he wrote 24 back to me and I wrote 36 back to him. It wasn't long before it was 16-16. Then there was tapes, T-A-P-E-S, tapes. And Bob remained a very faithful spiritual father to me. But this praying for this faithful man, a man that was dependable, reliable, trustworthy. I had many men around me, led many men to Christ, but I couldn't get this one faithful man who could teach others also. But after 18 months, 1 year and 6 months, God answered my prayer and he gave me this one faithful man. And this man was a pastor. Boy, was he hungry. He was a real hungry pastor. He did everything that I asked him to do. And I was just as tough as with him as Bob Glockner was as tough with me. And this was really, really wonderful. Well, this changed the course of this pastor's life, himself, and it changed the whole course of his church and ministry. And I kept praying for another faithful man. And about 6 months later, this pastor's younger friend, who had just finished a little Bible college, he saw this man whose name was Ray Ewers. He said, Ray, you've got something in your life that I want. There's something happened to you. I know you well. He said, well, all you've got to do is ring up a man called Jack Griffin and see him. Oh, he said, but he's only a layman. He only got converted a couple of years ago. He said, I don't know anything about that. He said, you just go and see him and he will share with you what he shared with me. Well, after 6 months of pride in this young pastor's life, he eventually rang me. He came to see me and the first thing I gave him was a little navigator, little booklet that says, how to have 7 minutes with God 7 mornings a week. And I put in before breakfast. And this was wonderful. And he put this into practice and it changed the life, his life and his church, which he had. So I had 2 faithful men. And this kept me pretty busy. And then we came on this world trip, which Lorne okayed. And then I well remember Lorne over in Massanetta Springs, I think was the name of the place. He said, Jack, why don't you go home to Australia and try and start and pray about starting a student ministry? I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. So I went home and I said, Lord, give me some university people. I didn't go to university. That didn't make any difference. It's the same gospel message, whether university man or whether you're labor or what you are, isn't it? Jesus died for us all. So in a short space of time, God gave me 5 university boys who all became Christians and eventually all became faithful men. And here I had 5 university students and 2 pastors. And I was a busy boy. I met them in Bible study. I met them in man-to-man. And I was getting out Glockner's notes and telling them, you know, and so forth. And I was getting them to write down. And I was getting them to pray for faithful men, which they did. And this really, really happened. And this was really, really wonderful and thrilling to me. And God was gracious to May. He gave May so many women too. Well, we thrilled at it. And after many more grey hairs and loss of hair and much time, these men, two pastors and four of the university students, followed my steps into the full-time navigator ministry. And the other university boy, he became an ordained Anglican minister. So God was very gracious to us. That really is how the work started in Australia. But since that day, God has multiplied the work. We have many labourers out there now. We not only have work amongst pastors and university students, but businessmen and couples and men in the churches, girls, workers and so forth. And we're in many states in Australia. And praise God, two of these four university students are now up in India as missionaries for the navigators, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and God is multiplying in a most remarkable way. But I must remind myself as I stand up here, there's a verse of scripture where Jesus said, "Without me, Jack, you can do nothing." Also, there is another little verse that says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that built it. Except the Lord build the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." We've just been channels that the Lord is worked through. Well, I think it was good enough for you, May, to leave a little scripture verse. I'd like to leave one. "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Thank you.
It'd be very hard for me to come up with anything that is a more down-to-earth, grassroots illustration of what the Navigator work is all about than you've heard tonight. The moving of the Spirit of God, the pouring of one life into another, that into another, and God using a middle-aged couple to start a student ministry that's flourishing in Australia. And two of those guys, is one of those John Ridgway? Dr. John Ridgway, who is heading up a rapidly growing, very exciting work today in India. And each time he goes back to Australia and visits the navigators, he seems to cream off a few more workers to take back with him. And there we see happening the thing that we talked about 25 years ago. And I thought tonight, there's no better way to share what God is doing and what is God's work than to let the people tell you whom God has used to be the parents of that navigator work in Australia. And you know, my goal was to be finished at 9:30, and we've got just a minute or two left. But Jack and May leave tomorrow morning. And maybe we could add a little postscript on this, Jack. How about a little P.S. on this, on the drip principle? Tell us about that, will you? And then we're going to be finished at 9:30. But tell us about the drip principle. Then we'll have prayer and we'll... But this is worth... This and other things are worth hearing, but we'll stop with this one.
Good. Lorne is a Timothy of mine, and you're going very well, Lorne, especially on the drip system.
Okay.
We have a little thing over there in Australia that's unique, we believe. We call it the drip system. You know what we all do, we make the mistake when a young Christian comes to know Jesus Christ, we sort of shovel everything into him, don't we? Well, he's really only a babe in Christ. We don't give a babe a three-course baked dinner, but a lot of us forget that. What we should be doing is getting out the eyedropper or the thimble, so to speak. But in this lovely home we built 30 years ago, we planted many lovely pine trees. I don't have time to water my pine trees. The good Lord waters them. And we have some of the nicest pine trees in the street. But as you look out our, or you come out of our front door, the left-hand pine to the entrance is about 17 feet. It's alive. It's about, at least 12 or 14 foot round. It's a wonderful size pine tree. But about 4 foot on the other side of the path is a scraggly looking 6 foot pine tree, only about 4 foot six round, and yet the same amount of water from the Lord. Why the difference? Well, where the big pine tree is, there has always been a tap. T-A-P? Now, understand? Tap? Good. And I've never been able to turn the tap off. It's always had a little drip. A little slow drip. And for 30... But the other one didn't. And for, I've had plumbers in after plumber, trying to ream it out, trying to put washers in, but no, still the tap dripped, stripped, dripped for 30 years. That is what we call the drip principle, and I believe that's what we've all got to learn, including me, regarding our walk with Jesus Christ. Isaiah 28 and 10 in the Living Bible says he tells us everything over and over and over again, a line at a time, and it's such simple words. So when a new person comes to Christ, let's keep it simple. My first question when I came to Christ to the pastor was, he'd given me a black book. And we were there on the Wednesday night Bible study. And he said, now you new converts, we're going to try and keep things simple. And we're going to try and answer every question that you ask us. Now, we're going to open up to one of the most popular books in the Bible. It's called the Gospel of John. And I had my black book, Gospel of John. I didn't know where the Gospel of John was. Nobody ever told me where the Gospel of John was. The pastor bought me the black book, and he told me that was the Bible. That's all he told me. He didn't even tell me there was an index in it. But I put up my hand that night. He said, yes, Jack. I said, sir, could you tell me where to find that Gospel of John? Oh, he said, yes, Jack. He said, I'm sorry, I forgot you were in the meeting tonight. And he said, and he explained the Bible to me, how the Bible is in two parts, the Old Testament and the New, and Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. I got a dig from a maid, say, don't you know Matthew, Mark, Luke and John? I said, I've never heard of them. See, we just take too much for granted, don't we? But we've got to keep it simple. It's like this, giving the man 7 minutes with God, 7 mornings a week, before breakfast. The little drip system. So, in the front of my Bible, I've got SIB, which is see it big, and then KIS, keep it simple. That is the drip system.
Thank you very much. Let's pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, we rejoice tonight to see what you have done in this couple's life, in their family, and through them to others. And I pray that you will help us tonight, help me, to apply to my life the simple, basic things that need to be done in my walk with you every day. And our Father, as we start 1978, some of us may be needed this stimulus for our own lives or to share with someone else. Would you speak to our hearts about it this very first time together tonight? Bring to our remembrance that which we need, that which I need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.